Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go. Tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Some of you will remember William Obaga, who was our music leader, one of our music team leaders for a while. He is from the country of Kenya. That country mourns this day. Students, awakened early in the morning, asked, "Are you Christian?" And if they said yes, they murdered them. How would it be if someone woke you at 5 o'clock in the morning with a gun to your face and asked you, "Are you a Christian?" Would you be filled with fear like the women and say nothing? Or would you say, "Yes, I am. Kill me"? Let's make it a little easier. I haven't told anybody about this, but there are sheets of paper that are in the back in the narthex. And after our service today, instead of going down for breakfast, two by two, I want you to go out into this neighborhood and knock on 8 doors, one side of a block. And I want you to knock on the door and say to the people, "Christ is risen for you. He's delivered you from your sins. Come have breakfast with us over at Emmaus." Would you be filled with fear? Hop in the car and go home? Skip the breakfast? Or would you go and knock on those doors? Obviously, I don't have the sheets back there. Maybe I should, huh? Maybe it'd do us all good to loose our tongues a little bit about this empty grave. What about even just saying to our family members, "Christ is risen. He is risen indeed, and that means our eternity is different"? Or will the same fear be there that was in those first women? They were not told to go to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in. They had been with Peter and Andrew and James and John and the other disciples for what we usually count as 3 years, telling the story with Jesus that he was coming to bring a new kingdom, a whole new relationship on this earth. And my, were they dull. Not like us. They were dull. Jesus raised somebody off a pallet who was paralyzed. Jesus cast out demons who said, "You're the Son of God, leave us alone." He opened the ears and the mouth and the tongue of a man who couldn't speak, and the eyes of some who were blind. And he cast out demons, and he delivered even foreigners from sicknesses. And he said, I'm coming to bring a kingdom. This gospel that ends this crazy way that they said nothing because they were afraid starts out, this is the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is good news for all of you. And they didn't hear it. Three different times Jesus said, I am going up to Jerusalem and I'm going to be put to death by the religious leaders. And after 3 days, I will rise. Why are these women lugging all those spices? Why did they waste their money on that dead corpse, which wasn't there? Why couldn't they hear it? What's going on? The other Gospels, they sound different. And there are even people who have added to this text, added such things as he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned in eternity to stay apart from God. Come to me, you who are weak and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If we wanted to go hunting, we'd get the right equipment and we'd go to the range and we'd practice our shooting. If we want to be on a team, we'll practice. Hit 1,000 pucks toward goal every night to try to make sure you know how to get one in. Anything that's really worth doing, we really work hard at. Why is it that it seems so strange to work hard at being a Christian, hearing that good news of salvation, letting it fester in every little corner of our heart so that we open up to God our hearts and say, would you change me? Would you transform me? I want to be everything you want me to be. I want to make sure everyone knows that your grave is empty. My, the world holds us, all of us. We live in a country that just in the past 5 years has changed and turned so radically so that it should just shut us up. What do you know about life? You believe in that Jesus guy, that guy who has all those strict rules. Nothing about that he made us that way, but all those strict rules to obey. And if you don't obey them, he'll send you to hell. We don't need to hear about that kind of God. We don't need to hear about that kind of God who tells us we're sinners. We're good people. We live honorable lives. We make good choices. We do whatever we want to. We're happy all the time. We get along with everyone else. We are happy in our jobs, happy in our homes, happy with our families, at peace with ourselves, at peace with the world around us. What's the matter with God that he comes up with this crazy story? I've got to pour my wrath out on my kid to ransom you from eternal death. Why, that's not popular. That's not a nice way to talk. If it were just the cross, maybe all of that would make sense. It's not just the cross. There's an empty tomb, one of them on this planet. One empty tomb. Not emptied out for a little while like Lazarus's or Jairus's daughter who never even got that far. But one that was emptied out by the God who said, it's finished. He's risen. Now I want to pour my love and my grace and my forgiveness and eternal life into every one of your hearts by the Spirit to give you eternal peace, to give you grace, to give you assurance that your life has meaning. Meaning because I have given you what Adam and Eve had when they were first created, life everlasting. That's what we have. That's who we are. We are people who have been brought from death to life as those waters were poured over us into the power of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so that when we feed at that table, We are feeding with the very body and blood that in a mysterious way God gives us that was on the cross and that came forth from that tomb to feed us every single week with his death and resurrection power. Every week to hear different words than those words that our world around us keeps jamming down our throat. Live and let live. There's much more to life than just being Christian. The history of the Christian church doesn't seem to be one to be proud of. It's much more about the fights, the complaints, the horrible things even done in the name of Jesus, the threats, the fears, the manipulation, anything but eternal freedom is a waste of time. Anything but Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord is a waste of time. Chop it down, dummy it down to just a few rules about this or that, and it's nothing. But what does that messenger say? What does that guy say in that tomb? He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Well, in the Gospel of John, Mary hears her name. In the Gospel of Luke, two disciples walk to the road of, and their hearts burn within them. Their hearts burn within them. Wow, we got to walk with Jesus. And after he disappeared, they went to bed. No, they didn't. They ran back to Jerusalem fast as they could. We've seen Jesus. If the Holy Spirit doesn't loose our tongues, we're going to be like these women, saying nothing. Not even to our dearest friends, because we're afraid. This world is not winning. No matter how many laws get passed, no matter how many things get done in our country or others, this world is on its way to the trash heap. And the Christian church is on its way to life everlasting. Each one of us will look that Jesus right in the eye. And he will say to us something like, "What, are you surprised? I told you I'd get you out of the grave. I told you I'd bring you into my life in my presence. I told you you're going to be with me on the mountain and celebrate the feast for all eternity. Let's celebrate." Before that day comes, let us ask our God to loose our hearts to hunger, to hear this good news every single day, along with all what bashes us, to praise and worship him every single week, and to have him loosen our hearts that we might not go in fear, but go in great joy and find a way with the Spirit to help other people hear this great good news. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen.